Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 28 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. In this, the fourth and final episode of a photo journal of my trip to Hokkaido, the northernmost island of Japan, in February 2006, I'll discuss some deer shots from the afternoon of the third day and some seal shots from the last hours before heading off to the airport on the last day, among other things, that is. First, let's take a look at shot number 926. Shortly before shooting the drift ice at sundown shot that I mentioned at the end of episode 27, we visited the Shiritoko Nature Center. On the way up to the center, there were two deer standing on the steep concrete embankment at the side of the road. The embankments that stop earth from sliding down into the road. This enabled me to walk right up to, and underneath this fawn that you can see in shot 926. And I got a number of decent shots of this. I chose this particular one to upload as it shows the fawn with its jaws extending out to the side as it chews a scrap of grass that it's found under the snow. And also there's the snow on its face from rooting around in the snow. This was shot at f5.6 with my 100 to 400mm lens, which was fully extended to 400mm, so that I didn't have to get so close as I might scare the deer. I had to set the ISO to 640, which gave me a nice fast shutter speed of 1,000th of a second, as it was not the greatest light at this point of the day. Shortly after the shot of the fawn, we got back on the bus and headed up for the nature centre that I just mentioned. And there we were joined by a guide by the name of Tomotaka Fujikawa. And he is a friend of Yoshiaki Kobayashi, the pro that we were on the tour with. He told us that there were some male deer in the grounds behind the centre and guided us out there. Although this area has a lot of deer pretty much everywhere, the males are usually quite timid and stay away from the sides of the roads, preferring to keep deeper in the woods for most of the time. So it was great to be able to get really close, literally just 5 meters or so from some young males, as in shot number 927. I shot this sitting down in the snow on the footpath at the edge of the woods, again with my 100 to 400 millimeter lens. There was not a lot of available light at this time. It was overcast and snowing. So I cranked up the ISO to 800 and rested my elbows on my legs to stabilize the lens as much as possible. The aperture still set to f5.6. This shot was exposed for 1/250th of a second. I was also exposure compensating by -1/3, which still gave a resulting image that was slightly brighter than the actual scene. But any darker than this, and we'd start to miss detail in the deer's fur coat. I also like to keep the snowy areas as white as possible, giving this image a nice dreamy feel, while maintaining the harsh conditions, of course, in which these beautiful animals live. These deer are known in Japanese as ezoshika. Shika means simply deer, but ezo is a word that is appended to many animals and plants that are native to Hokkaido, though many of the same species are also found in areas with similar harsh climates, such as the other far north areas of Japan and nearby Siberia and China. The ezoshika have a very hard time finding food during the long Hokkaido winter, which results in them having to eat the bark from the trees, as we can see in the next shot, number 929. This is apparently not that great a source of energy compared to the effort taken to actually eat it and to digest it, and it's also becoming a problem for the trees themselves. They are more susceptible to various diseases without the bark, obviously, and many die as a result. I'm no expert of the reasons for this, the reasons for the deer actually eating the bark. It may well be something that has always happened during the winter, and it wouldn't surprise me if that wasn't the case. But it has been highlighted more recently since the Shiritoko Peninsula was registered as a UNESCO World Heritage Site and is now protected along with all the deer. So the locals can no longer hunt the deer, and their numbers are growing to pest proportions. I must admit, though, this is something that I personally, as a photographer, and probably the thousands of deer in the area, are pretty happy about. Next, let's take a look at shot number 931, which is really more of a snapshot, or at best a documentary photo from the trip, that shows a guy whose nickname is Taisho there with his tripod, and Ogawa-san, an elderly gentleman that joins most of the photography tours with Yoshiaki Kobayashi. I'm not sure how old Ogawa-san is. He's probably in his 70s, but he really holds up well in this cold and is just an incredibly nice fellow all round. You can see here how close we are to the deer, being able to get right up to this male deer at the side of the woods. This is actually not the same deer as the ones in the previous shots. This one is a little younger. He has smaller antlers, but he was so interested in stripping the bark from the trees that he didn't seem to mind us that much at all. We were told, though, that they can be quite dangerous if they decide that they don't want you around. So if you find yourself in similar situations, approach with caution. I also just really like the warm feel of the sun in this shot, as it dropped low in the sky behind the trees here, accentuating the tunnel that the boughs of the surrounding trees made at the end of this third day of the trip. I closed the aperture down to f11 with a shutter speed of 1/320th of a second, again at ISO 800 for this shot, and I was exposure compensating to the tune of -2/3 to stop the sky from blowing out and losing that warm feeling. We then went back, after this shot, we went back to the Puyuni Promontory, from where I shot the drift ice in Utoro Bay that I showed you at the end of episode 27 last week. That was the last photo from the third day. The following morning we had a bit of a lie-in. The first 3 days of the tour, from rising to go to the airport in Tokyo, and the following two mornings had all been 4 a.m. starts, and everyone was feeling pretty tired. The sun rises behind the mountains here in Utoro, so as there's no real golden light to speak of, this wasn't such a bad idea. Having said that, I was awake at 6:20 a.m. anyway, and started getting ready for the journey back to Tokyo after the morning shoot. I sent a parcel of stuff back that I would no longer need. Before breakfast, I got rid of a lot of the gear that I'd brought along with me. It costs around $16 to send something from Hokkaido to Tokyo, to pretty much any of the mainland Japan. So it saves a lot of messing around, carrying around all of the additional luggage. Things included, the thermal wear that I would no longer need, and some dirty laundry from the previous days. And also, I packed off my monopod and battery chargers and other gear like that I no longer needed. We headed out from the hotel at 9 a.m. for the Oshinkoshin Falls. Hokkaido is the home of the Ainu people, and in ancient Ainu language, Oshinkoshin means man and woman. The falls that you can see in image 935 are the left-hand falls as you face them, which are Oshin, or the man or male falls. If the falls to the right were not frozen, we could have seen the Koshin part, which is the woman or the female falls. I'm not going to include the image in this podcast audio file, but if you want to take a look at image number 165 on my website, you'll see how the falls look in late summer. Here you can see a larger, more thick-set fall on the left, signifying the man, and the more slender falls on the right, signifying the woman. I recall when I shot this photo back in September 2003 that I really wished I had a nice blue sky in the background with some white fluffy clouds. I might have wished too hard, as last month when I was there, as you can see, if we go back to the image number 935, there was not a cloud in the sky. This was actually quite a challenging shot as well, as the bottom of the falls were in shadow as the sun had not yet risen high enough in the sky to light the whole area of the falls. This does, of course, have the benefit of a much more saturated blue sky, so there's a trade-off here. I took a number of different shots here, including a few with a gradual neutral density filter, two in fact, across the top of the frame to reduce the contrast between the top of the falls and the sky and the lower shadowed area of the falls. These shots came out okay, but I decided to also shoot some images with a few varying exposures to allow me to stitch the top and the bottom together to get a, basically to emulate what a neutral density filter would do in Photoshop. But it would allow me to select the exact line that I would like to graduate the two images together, rather than the straight line, although graduated, that you get in the neutral grad. Both shots were at ISO 100 at f20, a shot with the 16-35mm f2.8 lens. The top of this image had a shutter speed of 1/13th of a second, and the bottom image was shot at 1/6th of a second, so one stop different exposure there. I copied the image that I was going to use for the bottom to the clipboard in Photoshop, and then pasted it over the second image and converted it to a mask, and then painted over the bottom part until I had an image that still had a visible shadow across the bottom, but with one stop less contrast than the straight shot. I also have a shot with the bottom much brighter, but I decided to go with these two as I didn't want to deny the fact that there was ever a shadow there at all. Also, the texture of the light would have been considerably different in the original shadow area. Another thing to consider, and I also tried but decided not to go with, is that when shooting running water, much more than one stop difference obtained by changing the shutter speed would result in much more circular-looking water running in one shot than the other. What I did here was I bracketed the ISO for a few shots. Basically, I left the aperture at f22 and a shutter speed at 1/25th of a second, but bracketed the ISO from 100, then 200, then 400. This gave me a two-stop range with exactly the same aperture and shutter speed, so there was no need to worry about how the shutter speed would affect the running water. I decided to go with the shots that I did, though, the ones that I mentioned earlier, a 1/13th of a second and a 1/6th of a second, as I can't really tell any difference between the faster and the slower shutter speeds in the water. In fact, the top of the two shots that I used actually has the falls looking as though they had a longer shutter speed, although the reverse is actually true. Also, I just preferred this composition to the ones that I took where I bracketed the ISO. Still, I thought I'd share the idea of ISO bracketing with you, though, as it'll probably come in handy in similar conditions, and I've not really heard of anyone else doing this at this point. Anyway, let's move on, as we still have five images to talk about, and I'm already into 13 or so minutes of this recording, so let's try and get a move on. Before we look at the next shot, some might find this a little shocking, so before we do jump to the image, I'll tell you that it is what I believe to be the remains of a crow that probably an eagle decided to have for its lunch. We'd moved along the coast away and were standing out on the seashore shooting the drift ice that we'll look at shortly. And I looked down to find the remains of the crow. If you are not too worried about looking at this, please jump to image number 936. Now, I've warned you, please don't mail me saying, something like, "What the hell are you doing showing me that?" Firstly, if you don't want to look, pass it over. Secondly, this is part of nature, and I felt that as a nature photographer, it was my duty to a certain extent to record it. It's reality. Now, as a photograph, I find the contrast between the wet black feathers and the white snow and the bright red dashes of the blood quite interesting. Nothing technically difficult here. I decided to place the corpse on the left of the frame so that you can also see the splashes of blood on the snow to the right there. And also, just because I didn't want to bullseye this, I rarely do. As I was pretty close to the subject with my 24 to 105mm f4 lens and shooting at 105mm, I closed the aperture down to f9 at, a shutter speed of 640th of a second. And I basically wanted to just make sure I'd got enough depth of field to get in at least the area that we're interested in. I was using ISO 100 still. On a more calm note, the next shot is number 937 and shows some footprints in the snow. This was yet a little further down the road, and we'd stopped the bus again to shoot the drift ice, and I noticed these footprints from the side of the road. I closed in on the scene, which was probably only a few metres, maybe 4 or 5 metres across, with my 100 to 400 millimetre lens, and I was shooting at 260 millimetres. I was shooting at an angle across the snow, so to get a fair amount of depth of field here, I shot with an aperture of f16 for 400th of a second with ISO 200. These are probably deer prints, maybe fox, so that should give you some idea of the scale. Moving on again quickly now to shot number 938, we finally get a look at the drift ice that I keep talking about. I've loads of shots of this, but really nothing spectacular. I chose this particular one because there are some water birds in the sea around the third of the way from the top of the frame, which adds a little bit of something when viewed in a largest print. I also like the contrast between the whites of the ice and the snowy areas and the dark water in this shot. I have seen some amazing shots of drift ice from people that live and shoot in the area. Although a different scale to icebergs, sometimes the ice is as big as a house, and it melts around the base, and it'll maybe look like a mushroom floating out there in the sea. A pretty big mushroom, but they can be pretty spectacular. Hopefully I'll be able to keep travelling back here and sometime in the future spend enough time to sort of get in the early mornings, evenings, and capture some of this drift ice in a much more beautiful way. I'd stayed at f16 for a 400th of a second with ISO 200 for this shot. In fact, I was in manual mode, and I just didn't need to change the exposure settings. The lighting was the same as a few moments ago when the whites were still white. Anyway, we were nearing the end of our time here in Hokkaido, and for this fourth day, it was really 3.5 days. We'd spent most of the morning shooting the falls and out the drift ice. We'd left Utoro, and we were moving along the coast now before heading inland to go to the airport, and we noticed a group of four seals basking on the edge of the ice on a lake next to the sea. They are usually in the sea, but had waddled their way across, or maybe over a bank or two, to the lake. In shot number 939, you can see a single seal looking up at us as we shot the animals from the bus at the side of the road. To get in close for this, I'd attached my 2x extender to my 100-400mm lens, and the resulting shot is a little bit soft. I was shooting at 1,000th of a second at ISO 800 and resting quite steadily on the headrest of a chair, so camera shake should probably not have been a problem. This really is just a limitation of the 2x extender. The aperture was f11, which was forced as the 400mm lens. This lens at 400mm has a largest aperture of f5.6, so add two stops for that and you get f11. If you want to know more about using extenders or teleconverters and also extension tubes with your lenses, take a listen to episodes 23 and 24 of this podcast if you haven't already. Okay, so the last image from this tour, from this series of shots, is shot number 940, which is again the group of seals that we'd stumbled across basking on the ice. And just before we left, a common merganser, I believe it's pronounced, also known as a goosander, swam into the shot, and it left a nice wake across the bottom of the image. I cropped this shot a little because the majority of the top was just white ice, and I wanted to bring the focus in on the bird, the water bird, as it swam into the shot more. But there's the four seals there that we can see just basking away. This was shot at 400mm, as I'd now removed the 2x extender. I had an ISO setting of 400 for 2/2500th of a second. A few moments later, after this, we'd pulled away and we were now heading towards the airport and back to busy Tokyo. I had a great time over these 3.5 days. As a reminder, I'll add a link in the show notes to enable you to view what turned out to be a total of 105 images from these 4 days. Not a bad crop. If you find time to take a look, I've only managed to show you just under half of these during the last 4 weeks, so please drop by and take a look if you have any time. Remember, if you do follow the link in the notes, you'll get a list from newest to oldest, so to view the images in the order they were shot, click the number at the bottom right of the thumbnail screen, which is now 14, and it probably will remain at 14. You'll then be able to click the last image and then click on the left arrow above the images when viewed in the larger size to walk back through the images in the order that they were shot. So that's almost it for this week. I hope you've enjoyed this series. Remember that you can contact me with feedback, etc., using the contacts form on my website or via private messages from the forum if you take a moment to register. We've also just blasted through the 200 member mark, thanks to everybody that's joining up and making the site a great place to be. If you haven't joined up yet and you want to come along and join in the chat, general photography chat, just about anything, a real cool bunch hanging out there now. And there's the members gallery too if you want to post and share any of your images. One last note, if you can spare 5 minutes, please complete the listener's survey that you can find linked beneath the small podcast section on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com or linked with the larger graphic on the podcast page. This will enable me to learn more about you and hopefully help me to find a sponsor for this podcast at some point. It doesn't matter how long you've been a listener or how frequently you listen, so please take a few minutes. Realistically, it takes between 5 and 10 minutes. Definitely no more than 10 minutes. So thanks in advance for taking the time to complete the survey. So that really is it for this week. I hope you have a great week. Keep on shooting, and bye-bye.
This has been a Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Thank you.